Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
1,511. Evening, everybody. Welcome. As the Hump Day Buffet is getting ready to get laid out, the chefs are preparing what they have to do. And it's all good. We do it up at Soul Street Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Singer, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Street Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Brother Man Network and the Black Athlete Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia, Dear Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones. Hugs for Cheryl in her recuperation out of Philadelphia. Continue on. The bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray, is in effect, but we also recognize our new supervisor and ombudsman of active personnel, Lady Missy, who stands ready with the soap. Now, we know Lady Missy won't say anything unless we do something naughty, so we're just going to carry on. Meanwhile, Lanolin is enjoying her vacation. She's looking forward to getting into her roots. Her parents, Bo and Peep, are
what's
encouraging
up, man?
What's up? And, of course, Lanolin's sisters, Polly and Esther. But we got a whole big show to go through right now, so enough levity, and let's get to the action at hand. Big G, it's one thing to be right and say I told you so and say that everybody's wrong, but it's another thing to be right, and it's the last thing that you want to be because all your fears are coming out in full bloom. And if there's one thing that all of us on this thread, we're afraid, and this includes the brothers and sisters, you have to come on here, we were all afraid that COVID was going to take lives. And
make no bones about it. Yeah, we got to do this verse.
Yes, sir.
BlackAthlete.com. Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories. Daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Yes, sir.
We are BASN News, y'all.
Now, Michael, we said 2 years ago, we said this. On this show, we said somebody's gonna die for this movie, playing sports.
Yep.
Now, I know a couple months ago, I was a football player.
Yep.
And passed away, and they haven't told anybody what he died from yet.
That's right.
Here we are in December, and no one told us.
No, they haven't.
Are they hiding nothing?
I'll put it this way, G. I have to think, for the most part, that whatever happened down in Virginia Union did not bode well.
No.
They are trying as best as they can to bury the story, but clearly somebody lost their baby. And all the BS stops when somebody's life is lost. I don't know, and maybe Reggie knows now as we come further into the play here, and Reggie may pop in, what has happened since. But last we heard, they have entertained the services of counsel. So it's clear to say somebody's ass is in trouble. And because somebody's ass is in trouble, you have to recognize that.
Going into December, going into January, this thing is going it's going out of control.
Well,
the people of the Gold Gamma and Overdose.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
The Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
The LA Lakers.
Yep.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
Of the end of the NBA.
Yep.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Bears.
Yep.
The Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
Washington Football Club and a few other 49ers out here.
Yep.
And that's the hockey game. Is the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm-hmm.
The Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
The Chicago Blackhawks, and let me just say Chicago, because the Bulls, Bears, and Blackhawks all had it. Now, nobody died yet.
No, but, and there's always the but, you forgot to include the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames in that mix.
Yeah.
Yes. As Tony McClain is in the mix as well, the third member of our MIG line. And
matter of fact, Mike, add the Hurricanes, the Cleveland Browns, both head coach, and at home with Baker Mayfield is also tested positive as well.
Mm-hmm. So when we weigh all of this, Gary's words at the time seemed pedestrian because we had to think, and I'm not saying we were right. I'm saying we had to think that, okay, well, you know, we know why they're doing this. They're rolling the dice and hoping that nobody dies, considering how flimsy they put together their thing. The NFL was playing billion-dollar spit in the ocean, in all honesty, because their contract and their programming had everything to gain and everything to lose. Now, they got away with it. They made their bones. They made the contract. They made their money. And everybody else is happy with that. But these numbers of people, guys, this is a lot. And the fact that the cash must flow is pushing this, a variant that's up in front of us, and that's not Omicron or Delta or anybody else.
Mike, it is literally the worst case scenario because this is the home stretch, you know.
Yeah.
This is you know, you got the Saturday
game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We still have 34 weeks left in the longest season ever. So.
Only 34, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's now apparently the NHL is going to be having some sort of a clandestine meeting within the next couple of days, because the NHL, if another team or two reports, they may have to shut it down. Because apparently, I guess counting the teams, I believe there's about 50 to 80 players or so that have tested positive. Now, just to use my own team as it was, you know, the Islanders already had a huge outbreak, and ironically, it was just before the new building opened.
Exactly.
We got three out here in San Jose.
Well, they talked about a week ago, the first reported variant in the United States came up in California. I know here in Connecticut we had our first one here in Connecticut about a couple of days afterwards.
Yeah.
And much like that old hair shampoo commercial a few years ago, they told a few friends and they told a few friends I don't mean to, I swear I don't mean to laugh.
I know what you're saying.
Yep. But it's almost like COVID sort of was like, okay, let me let them get a little false sense of security, and then give them the freaking people's elbow when they're not looking.
That's right. But let's also tell the other side of the story. The other side of the story is that gambling, we got Radio Reggie in the mix, is what's driving this train.
Yes, they know.
Gambling has been at an unprecedented level this year. Not because all of a sudden people discovered it, but because they are allowing it. The atmosphere towards gambling has changed totally.
Mike, they're gambling on professional and college sports now?
Exactly.
Really?
And that's where all this is leading to, because Las Vegas is not going to offer up a forfeit. You know? You may cancel a game. You may see a game taken off the board, but they ain't giving up shit. And because they're not giving up shit, we have to look at the dollars and cents of all of this.
Well, more so dollars, because it don't make no damn sense.
Yeah, you got that right. More so dollars. More so dollars. Now,
hold it, Mike. I got to write that down. More so dollars, not cents. All right.
There you go.
Continue.
Look at that fine print. Mm-hmm. But Reggie,
yes, sir.
You actually have gambling now in an area that's really not known for that. So, what's the feedback from all of the stuff that you've been hearing about money and action and cash being bet in Virginia?
Well, first of all, peace and blessing, deacons for defense of justice. I'd like to thank the ancestors in which the souls we stand on for giving blessings and strength in order to have a show. And thank you, Africans in America, for what you guys do. Peace and blessing to y'all. Now, I got that out the way. Number one, isn't it interesting that Daniel Snyder, Maryland, and some parts of that area took the longest time where Virginia is reaping the benefits? Now just think about it. 2 minutes to the floor, if I may. As T-Mac said, just think about this. You have Daniel Snyder and the Washington Football Team, an NFL franchise, and they don't have a betting app down there where they can go and have people bet. Virginia is just raking the money, more money, more money, more money. Between Maryland and D.C., that is inexcusable with all the technology that they have. That's number one. Number two, as we talked about last time, Maryland has already signed a deal with a gambling company in order to try to bring revenue in so they compete with the Big Ten. And so that's one reason Maryland left the ACC, because they had to get dollars in order to compete, and they still ain't shit. They just fired the basketball coach. The football coach is scrambling right now, and they can't even compete with the Big Ten because, number one, they don't have the seating capacity of a stadium like Michigan.
True.
Oh, by the way, they seat over 100,000. Number two, the fan base of transit, so everybody there comes in every 4 to 8 years with a new crop of individuals from all over who bet on other individuals. So if I may ask the panel, what do you guys think about what I just brought to the table?
Well, that's definitely
Look, there's their move was very similar to like Rutgers. They didn't care about the product on the field.
It was a business decision.
They saw visions of dollar signs dancing in their heads, and that's basically what the whole gambling thing has done. And look, let's just want, I think we can all be transparent here. All, you know, we've all, look, I've won a couple of office NCAA pools, you know, full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all of us on here have bet a ducat or two on a pro or college sporting event.
Yep.
So, no, we're not, you know, I'm not trying to, we're not trying to come off here as, you know,
holy
as I'm showing some history, the old Hayes committee from back in the day,
right,
when they tried to moralize, whether, and this is not, you know, or anything pre or post prohibition back in the day.
Right.
But know what, see, here's the thing. Know what you're getting into. Know exactly, because see, everybody thinks they know what they're getting into in regards to the gambling thing.
True.
But there's only a handful. Look, Vegas, you know, Vegas, love them or hate them, they know what they were doing because they were the only guys that were doing it. Now,
right,
give Jersey credit, because they have basically, you know, they have basically taken what Vegas has done and sort of taken it to another level.
Right.
At the very least, you know, at the very least, they have become their equal, and in some instances, they've made more money in a sense. But again,
yeah,
they went at it with the approach of knowing what they were getting into, and
exactly,
and having and being prepared for it. Some of these,
mm-hmm,
other places, some of these other states and places and what have you, really didn't, you know, they, again, it was a, you know, as is with a lot of stuff that happens in pro and college sports, it's a money grab. And look, I'm,
mm-hmm,
not going to tell anybody how they should make their money. But that being said, as we bring in the Butt Sisters for the umpteenth time,
yeah,
know what you're getting into. And I think it's safe to say that a lot of the powers that be have no idea what they're getting,
yeah,
into. They literally just saw it as, oh, it's a money grab? Okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they,
I agree.
This is divinity above divinity here. The NBA and NHL, they played their season last year, right? How many games of COVID-19 did they have last year?
Well, they have, you know, well, the NHL
14,
plays,
right?
Okay, NHL,
so here we are. 2021. No restrictions, no closed doors, and numbers are going out the roof. Why?
Why?
Because
Gary?
Outside influences, and these moves do that, but going into the season, they do that.
Gary, that's partially right. The bottom line in all of this is that, to go to Reggie's point, Maryland, like Rutgers did years before them, made a business decision. Maryland didn't decide that all of a sudden we're going to get a whole bunch of people drafted in elite athletes to come in and rip everybody's ass. Maryland decided the path that Rutgers took, where as long as we get in, we'll fit in, was the best course of action. And Maryland actually had to see Rutgers do that to realize, well, wait a minute. Rutgers was 2-9 last year, but they made money because the other schools in our conference brought home big bucks after bowl games. So Maryland has decided to do the same thing. And I'm not mad at them for it, but it's like that's the difference between business and the game that they're talking about. Having said that, add all this up. No matter what happens, the Big Ten will make money in spite of COVID, in spite of attendance, in spite of everything, because of gambling. And every sport,
yeah,
is going to make money because of gambling. It doesn't matter what. But the issue that we are fearful of, as far as people who are going to bet on games and stuff, is what happens if you have to call everyone's bets in. In other words, if a game gets forfeited, you know, if a game is forfeit, those bets are forfeit. You got to pay everybody back. Now,
hey, but Mike, I got a question for you, Mike. Again, that's what we talked about last week when I talked to Tia about the HBCUs. You can't sit here and tell me that now is already money placed on HBCUs. The way things are going now with the Celebration Bowl, they've already talking about a sellout coming this Saturday for the big bowl game.
It's official. The game has been sold out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the first time in the history of the game, I believe so.
Yeah. Sure.
Am I right about that?
First time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First time.
Talking about, we talking about where the Falcons play, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, now, number one. Now, the Lions come in the game. And, T, you made an excellent point about integrity with our HBCU. But, if, God forbid, somebody gets to a low-level player, and I'm praying to God this don't happen. I really am, because I really believe the NCAA is licking their chops right now, trying to find a way to derail this train that's coming down the tracks with Jackson State and some other HBCUs. Now, T, help me with this situation. Now, all of a sudden, money is flowing with gambling. Dr. Harvey got his money, but somebody got to come up with an idea to bring more coffers to upgrade these facilities. Do you think, in your humble opinion, T, with covering sports and the great right you do, that some HBCU that's on the tier, say, oh, Prairie View, or maybe even a Southern, might take that leap to try to bring gambling to upgrade their facility to compete?
I'm going to say no, because I think for the most part, and I'll use MEAC and the SWAC and I'll just use the MEAC as I'll use the SWAC as an example.
Yeah.
They're not going to try to go rogue, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Harvey and maybe like a handful of other schools of all the HBCUs are going to have some folks that want to whatever. And maybe I'm being too Pollyanna about it, but I'm just going by their history and by how they were able to cultivate their money at the expense of the MEAC, in the sense of, here's the thing. The SWAC has always been a little, the SWAC has been around longer, number one, old money versus new money. And they've had that basic blueprint territorial-wise for years. This was the first, you got to remember, this, I think I'm correct when I say this. This was really the first major expansion they've had in a while by bringing in they basically brought in Florida, the state of Florida, to this, because they have been Mississippi, Alabama,
Louisiana,
they've had that Mason-Dixon line pretty well established over the years. They, to the point where they were like, when the MEAC started, great, cool, like little brothers, but you're not going to mess up what we've done because we've been around all these years. And let's be fair here. They have probably been approached to do this years ago. And I think, again, to their credit, they said nah, say what you want. I still think with HBCU sports, and I think that's one of the reasons why they appeal to all of us here, there is still some old school thing there about, it's probably more so there than it is with the white schools. Because let's face it, the white schools, when you had all the conference jock-in, you didn't see the MEAC or a SWAC or anybody else try to whatever. These were white schools that went for the money. And see, again, I sort of go back to what I said last week. I think if they were to try to and it would be successful, I think even though the NCAA doesn't really whatever, they would find a way to sabotage it.
Oh, you know that. They do it every time. Never mind all of that.
Regardless of how many people the Georgia Dome holds, it's confirmed that it's a sellout, as Tony said. And that's the
how much money are we talking for the revenue of Atlanta? How much are we talking that revenue?
Well, we'll put it this way. What did JSU bring to Jackson? 30 mil this year. Now, granted,
yeah,
that's in like this one game.
That's the money they reported. That ain't the actual money.
Well, again, we'll use it as a gauge. Now, remember, that was what? Four home games, counting the SWAC championship game. Now, this is a 1 week. Now, you know, they have I'm sure there's a whole lot, you know, it's like a mini Super Bowl week or an NBA or an NBA Finals week where there's all sorts of events and people are, or what have you. So
ancillary income.
Exactly. Now look, stuff goes on in Atlanta without the Celebration Bowl. They're not, but are they gonna turn down the extra couple of bucks?
No.
They'd be foolish if they did. But see, to me, it's more about the bigger overall picture because, see, let's face it, within the span of 24 to 48 hours, we have seen the Celebration Bowl have its first sellout, which is very positive. And, again, love him or hate him, and again, depending on what media outlet you follow or whatever, arguably the either number one or number two recruit in all of college football. And, again, it depends on how you read it. It's whatever. But
yeah,
the fact that, look, how many years have we said just once I'd like to see one of the big-time guys – go on there and say, I'm going to the States or I'm going to whatever. And he did it.
How about we saying a coach will come and coach at the HBCUs? We thought the former coach, but
to be fair, even with Deion's impact, we've seen other pro guys come in. But they've been coming in for years. Exactly. And some of them have been successful, some of them haven't. But the fact that you finally have arguably one of the alleged when you arguably have one of the alleged best recruits in all of the United States basically say, I'm going to Jackson State, that's big.
That's right.
UCLA, Notre Dame, Michigan, you name it, I don't care what name. Fuck them. Because, see, here's the thing. I know exactly what you're saying, Gary. And I'm not trying to say, but see, here's the thing. Here's just to let you know that white supremacy is all well and good. You would think, after all these years, that you guys have always gotten basically what you wanted. You have one kid,
and you lose your bunny rabbit blinking mind.
All of a sudden, I try not to quote Facebook too much, but there was something on there that just made sense, and it sort of hit it all today. There will be people with a full loaf of bread that will be jealous of your one slice of bread. As much as it was important today, it's a small ripple. it's a good ripple, but it's a small ripple. I would love to, you know, maybe, you know, we always say, well, maybe it's the start of something. We'll see. I think with the way the portal, I think with the way the transfer portal is mm-hmm. doing its thing. See, the transfer yep. portal has always been there anyway. That's really nothing big.
Yeah.
But
no, you're on the right track, Keith. You're on the right track,
here's the thing. Like I said, end of the day, they will try to. Because see, this is no different from, and God forgive me if I'm going a little overboard here.
No,
it's like the OJ verdict in the sense of how many black men and black women over the years have gone to jail, died, or what have you,
thank you.
Under false pretenses. We have right. one, whatever, and however you feel about OJ or whatever, that's another charge. But you have this one thing. They made it out like the world was coming to an end.
Yes,
because it stopped. Look, it stopped being about Nicole and Goldman years ago. It was all about making sure that Negro goes to jail. But see,
that's right.
Here's the thing. And to bring it into the football thing here, and again, Deion's role in it, that's a whole 2-hour conversation in and of itself. The fact that arguably one of the top 5 recruits in all of high school football, and again, it's subjective because, you know, this kid may wind up being a lousy player. We don't know. So
right.
people
right.
You still have to make the transition. But the fact mm-hmm. that he even had the temerity to say, "Hey, I'm gonna go give it a shot," and
mm-hmm.
you know, in reading what he said, he's aware of the history. He's
yeah.
aware of the impact and what have you. So it doesn't come off as, you know, just something flimsy or what have you. But yeah, it's
right. Hey, T, I want to throw something at the professor real quick. Okay, professor, the amount of money that Jackson State gave Mississippi, Mississippi, which, you know, is just a backward-ass rural state with these clowns running it. You don't believe me? Look at how they rank as far as housing and education, and also as far as health care. But between the money that Jackson State brought in to the state as well as the revenue coming into Atlanta, in your opinion, Professor, how would this down the road help these other HBCUs to step up and maybe get their facility straight? Because the SWAC won't get a piece of change off of this regardless.
Well, see, the thing you got to look at with Jackson State off the top, Jackson State plays in an NFL-sized stadium. Most HBCUs don't play in an NFL-sized stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can go to an HBCU and they never step foot in one, because
right.
I've been to Veteran Memorial Stadium, game between Grambling and Jackson State. There's no way around. You can't compete without. I mean, what you put on the field is great. Don't get me wrong. What you put on the field is great, but what you got to consider is. You right down the road, just right down the street from you, Hovey Field. You know, the stadium that Alma Mater plays
in.
Now those, you know, we will know if Sanders syndrome has a real impact when some of these
mm-hmm.
presidents and chancellors say, "Hey, we either got to rent some better space or build our own better space."
When y'all took over Wake Forest Stadium, and then what y'all did with Wake Forest Stadium?
Wake Forest Stadium is 10 miles away. Wake Forest played in Bowman Gray back in the 40s and 50s. They built their own stadium. I want to say in the 60s, and they've expanded it a couple of times to what they – I forget what it's called now. But, and see, by all intents and purposes, Wake Forest Stadium is not even up to ACC standards because it only seats like 30 or 35,000.
Right.
Okay. Duke Stadium is around 40.
Mm-hmm.
It's old as all get out. They finally closed in the evening and all that kind of stuff back in the 70s. Carolina has like 60,000. Because, see, most of the stadiums are 60, 65 plus. Then you get the ridiculous one like Tennessee. Tennessee Stadium is 100 plus.
Mm-hmm. Michigan.
Michigan is 106.
Tennessee won 4,000. What about USC? I think Coliseum is like 100 plus.
But there's not a lot of them. So,
oh, and Penn State. And don't forget Penn State on the mountain. They got 100,000.
Well, they ain't got no, what else they got up there?
So professor, can I make the argument that the reason some of these stadia aren't big stadia is because they had already made the agreement regarding revenue streams? You know, the fact that Jackson State is going to get this many people, I mean, God bless them. And that Coach Sanders is doing what he did, God bless them. But how often does a player who's a primetime player, no pun intended, who can go anywhere he wants, decides they're going to go to an HBCU? Now, we were on the phone earlier, and we were talking about Earl Holmes, who played linebacker for the Steelers and the Browns. He was highly recruited. Everybody wanted him, but, and you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, I believe it was the fact his mama wanted him close to home, made him pick FAMU as opposed to going to the other side of the tracks and going to Florida State. And everything turned out all right in that regard.
You have a number of people. Some back in the 80s, one of the guys that Air Harvey threw to, I think his last name was Clark, at NC Central. You know, there were people all over him. And you know what he did? You know what he did? My family goes to North Carolina Central.
Okay.
And you go back and check his pedigree. He was from one of those families who were back in the 20s and 30s who were sharecroppers, the worst. Because he was actually listed as being from Detroit. But somehow around World War II got the door open at North Carolina Central, and they started at the school they would go to. Well, long story short, when he got recruited by some of the best and got some over and under table offers that he rejected. Why? Because my family goes to North Carolina Central. And, you know, even to Mel Blunt played at North Carolina Central. He didn't go to Southern like Lunt did, but he was both his boys ended up at North Carolina Central at one time because one was playing football, one was playing basketball. But you know, and there are some others. You don't. Sometimes you get the story, and some of them just really kind of downplay it. Well, you know, it's a family. They'll say, you hear them say, well, it's a family thing, and what that means is. We know about all, you know, like, I don't know about all them schools over there, but as for me and my house, this is our school. And, you know, and I can't remember the young man's name, but he was like a third generation, player who all the family members went to Central, or Winston-Salem State because they were going to be teachers. Well, he wanted to be an engineer. Well, you can't go to those two schools and be an engineer. So, to the chagrin of the rest of the family, he said, no, I'm going to A&T. He played for Bill Hayes. Well, guess what? You know, some of them didn't speak to him for 4 years. But he went to an HBCU, He had, he had a decent career till he got hurt. But then, you know, after that, you know, he's an architect for some kind of thing now. Anyway,
okay.
You know, you see, that's one of the things. I got three nephews that went to A&M. None of them played sports. One of them was a former drum major. The other two, they are into
Professor, we have to lock up the point that's been missed here, and that is everybody else is trying to lock down a potential revenue stream that started with this kid committing to go to Jackson. Now, Coach Sanders needs one more thing on top of everything else that he's putting in the pot already. He needs a willing rival. I mean, we can have the assumption that everybody wants to whip Coach Sanders' ass, but we need a rival who's going to come in there and consistently make an effort to try to whip his ass, because that encourages recruiting. That encourages sales. Yes.
Hey, Mike. Actually, I think he's got his – I don't think he has a rival. I think he has rivals, and that would be the rest of his swag.
Yeah, no, that's good. And that's what I want. Yes, I want rivals. I want the same guy saying, I want to beat Coach Sanders' ass, but they got to put a product on the field.
Coach
Prime
versus
the
field. Mike, Tiger Woods is Coach Prime versus the field.
No, but Mike, look at it this way, Mike. Long before, you know, let's go back to the days when Coach Klein had an opportunity, very likely, to attend a Jackson State or any other. Well, you know, anything. When I hear him sound like he's saying, I didn't know. I mean, you know, I knew that I knew where Florida A&M was, but I really didn't know. If you don't know, if you don't know where you, if nobody shows you the railroad track, so to speak, in the fence, you don't realize you may be on FAMU's campus and not even know that you're there because it's different. But you know, come on, he would have to be one of the biggest liars and the biggest idiots in the world to be where he was and not know that FAMU was there. Let's start with that. And then you take the argument a little further and say, okay, Mr. Sanders, why are, you know, I try to be fair with him. I hear some of stuff he said. Okay, good. Now that he's gotten religion, hey, he's on a quest or a ministry to help HBCUs. Yes,
right.
He's digging deeper. And he's taking some different paths from old school. But realistically, he ain't doing nothing that Eddie and Gordon and all these other people that you want to name back in the day. This, a lot of what he's doing now can be traced straight to a situation in Milwaukee, where you saw this young man being choked to death by this cop. And all the white folks woke up and get religion and say, Carson forsuit. Maybe
Fred, to be fair, there are a hell of a lot more resources when those guys were around too as well.
Here they are. Because think about it. Eddie Robinson had his own show in the '70s.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
We were always late during football season. For three of my 4 years during football season, I was late for we were late for church every Sunday because at 10 o'clock, they were able to get the film developed and all that stuff they did. But they had Ed Robinson's show was on, showing highlights at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and we would watch until 10:55 and haul ass down the street to the closest church. Okay? So, now that you have all digital this and digital that to do what they used to do, because, you know, it's among people who knew him, Collie Nicholson didn't sleep on Saturday night because he helped get all that stuff put together. And I don't know how they got it broadcast, but they did. And, you know, he's getting – what he's doing is good. But come on now. Let's give credit where credit is due.
Well, no, I don't – but see, here's, I think, where we differ. I don't think saying that Deion's taking it to the next level is desecrating what the old school folks did. Because the thing is, if you had the same technology back then that you had now, I think things would be I think that things would be equal. But all I'm saying is, don't hate on him for using the modern technology that's there. Now, clearly, and you know, Connie Nicholson, Waldo Emerson, and Eddie Robinson. That was like a holy trinity for HBCU sports. They had a vision of something that not even half the rest of HBCUs had, and it served them well. And that's why they're always going to be considered the quote unquote Notre Dame of HBCU football. But all I'm saying is, and again, I don't think giving Deion his props is pissing on what was done back in the day. If anything, I'm just glad that there are more resources, and I hope that the one common thing here is that what are the other schools going to do? I always hearken back to when Winston left the CIAA and came back, and you had all the CIAA coaches bitching about, oh, they got a Division I school, and it took the commissioner to say, y'all need to shut the hell up and compete. And basically they finally took, you know, after all those years of whining about it and whatever, see, again, no one's trying to take away from what they've done. Just to keep it within the SWAC, I hope that Alcorn and FAMU and all these other guys step it up. And it's not like that they weren't stepping up before, but now, in a sense, they have a common enemy, so to speak. My enemy is my enemy. My enemy now. And I think, again, I go back to what I said when he got hired. I'll say it before. It's all positive because it's putting money in other folks' pocket. It's also given the exposure that HBCUs deserve.
Right. And real quick, Professor, when you did Black Magic, Professor, that opened the doors for a whole lot of people, and even Stephen Smith admitted he should have done it, which I'm like, don't give me that BS. But here's my thing, Professor. I think if they could have done a Black Magic form of football, a lot of what you preach and talk about, we would have been exposed to. And
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying it would have been nice if it already had been done. Gentlemen, the thing you got to look at there is it is in the works, first and foremost.
Good.
And
thank
not
God.
Just the one major problem that I see with all of this, and it goes back to what Timo brought up about Winston-Salem State. Okay, you can't look so hard at the coaches, the players, the ADs, et cetera, because our school, the major problem with HBCUs is we are about education, not athletics. Now, go 74 miles from here to a town called Chapel Hill. You can name, Dean Smith has been dead several years. Roy Williams just retired this year, and they got the little black dude up there with who met his white wife at Carolina. But look at what they do. And this is a question I always ask these people who talk about, it's an educational institution. okay? One, if such an education institution, why do they have black, all these black kids in the African-American studies program that the coach didn't know they were in and didn't know they weren't doing no work? Wink, wink. Take it a step further. Go to that same school and ask me and answer this one simple question. Name me a single PhD on that campus.
Come on.
Don't have to do that. Just name me one PhD. Oh, this is the same. This is the same institution who said, "Oh, we just because we give them $25 million don't mean we have any involvement into the selection of faculty for that color girl that's going to be in here with the red hair. We don't want her up in here. So, what kind of message that but." Anyway, and it's those kinds of things that's white schools can get away with it. But see, my point is simply this. White schools can get away with it. Black schools can't because they have to go back. Because I can remember reading stories back in the day about how these schools, and especially private schools, when they started introducing athletics, why they need athletics.
Well,
now,
Professor,
nine out of ten of the people you know from Carolina, from UCLA, you name the school, Ohio State, nine out of ten people whose name you really know off the top of your head play some sport.
Right. But this is where you're preaching to the choir. What Coach Sanders is doing right now is he's daring these guys. He took NIL and looked at it as, okay, if this is going to be a revenue stream for college athletes, we're going to make it work in more ways than just taking care of the college athlete. Now some of them have been convinced that not only can they get a little sum in their pocket, they're convinced that they can get the kind of education that they want. And this is the mistake that I believe HBCUs have made, because it was always about the revenge of the nerds, and no way are we going to allow you guys to have a balance of education and athletics. Coach Sanders is showing that this is going to be a distinct possibility. And if he has another season like he's had this year, regardless of what happens in the Celebration Bowl, they will come to him. Because the difference between HBCUs and regular schools is the phrase recruiting class. You're not talking about one player, you're talking about five or six players. When they do their bullshit on the mouse, what do they say? Who are the top recruiting classes coming into the college football season? Do they not? That's what they are fearful of.
I don't watch the mouse, so I don't know. But I can tell
you
this.
Fearful. Yes.
Recruiting classes, the value of a recruiting class and quality and all that kind of stuff is good. But it ain't necessarily great. And the reason I say that is this. How many think about just a few years ago, Ohio State brought in this guy who was a five-star quarterback or whatever he was and all that kind of nonsense. But they brought in three of them.
Right.
One left and one changed to wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And see, a lot of times these guys go out and recruit guys out of high school. And I use an old example. The coach at Oklahoma back in the day allowed this guy who's supposed to be the smart quarterback to come to Oklahoma. Now, based on the quality of this quarterback at the time, this had to have been a great recruiting class. Problem was, he was not a runner. He was a passer. And guess what?
Right.
They ran the wishbone.
Right.
And see that's what gets lost in this whole thing about recruiting classes, because a lot of guys you bring a guy in, he's a passer, you don't want him to run, especially at white school, they don't want him to run, and
right.
If he does, he's wild and out of control, and see. Because of that, you end up with a young man who probably will never become what he should become because he's never given an opportunity. he is just out there. And that's something that all coaches have to be mindful of, but especially HBCU, because you only get so many high quality players to begin with as of right now. It can be forced to go to something bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But finish the sentence. Okay, so now Deion gets one guy for Jackson State. It's early. He has a chance to get, say, three or four more. Now you've got a recruiting class, and everything is different.
But you got to remember, too, Mike, a lot of Deion people came in fast for a fall. And a lot of these schools right now with the transfer portal, you want to see a lot of movement. And see, this is what pissed me off. I'm passing my family over your game. You got all these damn coaches making millions of dollars, making more than some coaches in the NFL. And like Dabo Sweeney, his racist ass, she just been not talking about, this ain't fair, this ain't right. Well, damn it, it's about time that men and women both get their likeness and start making money. Now, how many times have we seen the millions of dollars going to these schools where they now help enrollment, see Michael Vick with Virginia Tech, and also these big-time March Madness? But, yeah, here's my question, Professor. Yes, start saying with your Fan Aid contract that these big-time programs get, let's have your graduation rate go up to, say, 75%. I wonder how many of these coaches are starting sitting there scratching their heads wondering, oh, shit, I wonder if I'm going to take this job. Help me out, Professor.
Well, that should be written into every – let's be fair. That should be written into every damn coach's contract.
It should be in contractual clauses, yes.
Yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah.
In every contract, write it in.
Gentlemen, you will get a remark similar to what when Roy Williams said when it was discovered that some of his players were taking, some of his black players were taking these courses in these African American studies class, studies department, and they didn't have to show up for class. They were getting grades and this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, there is no mention of, from his perspective, that is an academic situation. He said, and just the other day I saw the video of it. He said, what would it look like here? Can you imagine what I would say to a professor who came to me and told me how to teach basketball? I would tell him to get out of here. Well, with that in mind, his idea is that I don't tell them how to teach history or black history. They don't come to me how to teach basketball. Now, if that ain't a low blow to the crate, to the character of the great University of North Carolina, it tells me that all them guys that come back in the summer, they supposedly go to class, and then all they're talking about is how they don't talk about going to class. They talk about going to play basketball all day at the game.
Sure.
That barn door is so far gone. It's not even funny because Lane Kiffin. They asked him about the NIL they're just going to go to where they can get the most money. Now, mind you, this motherfucker has had six jobs and 12 in 8 years, from the Raiders to Florida Atlantic to Alabama to Tennessee to whatever. But it's okay if he, It's okay for him to be a hoe, but if he's trying to, get a better deal for themselves,
thank you.
They got a problem with it.
Tony,
did he win at any of those places?
Huh? No, not just win. Get treated with respect. I know you all remember that there was a video where Lane Kiffin, that motherfucker, was recruiting for South Carolina, and Alshon Jeffrey was not yet committed to a school. And he was shooting all kinds of shit up his ass and stuff like that.
And Alshon opted to say, no, thank you. And he was basically like, okay, next nigga. See, there's not going to be no next nigga in the land of NIL. Because if they try to put the poison talk on them, it ain't going to be a next nigga and we ain't going to let you play. It's going to be, all right, I'm going to move on to another situation and let the chips fall where they may. That's a big difference. How many kids have been screwed because a coach twisted their nuts around their eligibility or the fact that once they made a roster, they got screwed because they played politics with a position? That's going to change a lot with this NIL, and it'll change even more if the HBCUs beckon these young men to let them and remind them that they have a choice.
Well, not that they just have a choice. One of the choices that they should be willing to accept is you can be exposed at an HBCU or a what do they call them now, the FCS or whatever that bull crap is.
Right.
Because going, this is not to brag on the Steelers or anything, but have you all noticed how many of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame today from the Steelers alone that went to schools that are not Power 5 schools?
Oh, sure.
Most of them did not go to Power 5 schools, which tells you that where quality is, it can be found. And see, this is something that Coach Rob always preached to his guys. He said, you do what you're supposed to do out here with me, and then you'll be ready to go over there. And we have gotten so simple, correction. There are those who have their heads so far up the Power 5 schools behind, or the conferences behind, that they can't even see reality. Well, with that in mind, what we have to do is bring it back and say, okay, who are the guys who are making it in the NFL? And see, the NFL, because some of these guys have been intermingled, or I call it inbreeding from the NFL to the college ranks and back and forth, there are certain things they look at that are unreasonable and irrational.
You ain't never lied, friend, because when Coach Rob said, he told the league, he said, all right, what are y'all looking for? Because he had quarterbacks who were pro-ready, and they had gotten screwed. And, of course, after Shaq got in, it was a whole other story. So he asked the NFL, what do you want? And they said, I need somebody who will stay in the pocket. I need blah, blah, blah. You know, all the laundry list of what they said. And Doug got drafted. He didn't get drafted fourth or fifth round. He was a first-round draft choice. Now, part of it was because Tampa Bay was so bloody awful on their offense that they had no recourse, and Williams was the best and a standout lot of quarterbacks that season. But if it hadn't been for Coach Rob nattering at them, telling them, y'all tell me what you want, I'll devise a quarterback that will make all of those things work for you on the checklist. And he did. And Doug got in, and the rest, as they say, is history. But it wasn't because of the NFL looking into their heart and saying, we're going to do right by this guy. He still had to be able to play. And Doug took them from worst to first. We can never forget that.
That's true. And see, that's part of the mentality that we have to develop as HBCU followers, and has been developed in the coaching ranks. And, again, that, what was the term you used, the nerd versus the jocks mentality at the top? Okay. One of the things that we got to get our academicians or people in academia to admit is you can actually go out and sweat and beat each other up and all this other kind of stuff and still be smart. Because there are those out there who don't. I communicate with a young man still fairly regularly after 50 years of knowing him, and I almost want to choke his eyes out one day. But, he really thought if you were a jock, you were a dummy. he knows better now. Since,
he didn't know the history.
You know, since one of his doctors that saved his life was a former football player. But, you know, because, I mean, unfortunately, so much of that element is out there. They don't understand that, hey, it's nothing. I mean, you know, it's just using another part of your brain to express what you want other people to know, and that's all there is to it.
Hey, Professor, look at Hugh Jackson now with Grambling. Now, he's a former NFL coach. He has all the same pedigree as far as knowledge of the NFL. What do you think he needs to do to step up his game to put Grambling back on the map? Because, let's face it, Grambling had a whole lot of problems when the football team shut it down and walked off. I don't know what the administration of Grambling is doing, but I know they're handling your money, and things have not been too well at Grambling as far as financial.
To be fair, he was on staff with Tennessee State this past year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, before then. I'm talking about now, he doesn't have to move to Grambling. And like I said, for Grambling, they're not up with Southern. I mean, Southern's ahead of them.
Well, Reggie, the thing you got to look at, and it's amazing that some of the players didn't work out too. But going back to when that whole craziness started at Grambling, not to defend or cover up for the administration, but just to acknowledge of what the deal was back then. They had this asshole called a governor who cut every budget in the state of Louisiana. This is where schools got to up their game in building, not only fundraising, but building endowments. LSU, as a land-grant institution for Louisiana, had money because they have a multi-billion-dollar endowment. Southern doesn't have the multi. Matter of fact, Southern, as we know, like most institutions, even in the land grant money, they never got all they were owed. They still are owed millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars now. And nobody has stepped up to put a gun to Louisiana legislature's head and say, give them their money, like they did for Tennessee, and although Tennessee has had a gun in their head, they've done what they were supposed to do. But having said that, during the time when all that fiasco was going on with Grambling, I'm glad the young men stood up and did say what they said and did what they did. I think Eddie would be proud of them because that's how they train these guys. That's what they kind of character they've instilled in them. And don't take when you don't have to. Well, because of that governor who was eventually voted out, the money just was not coming in. They were put in a position where money that from their general budget was being siphoned off to do just to cover the general budget. Thus, there was no money being set aside for athletics the way it had been. And because of that, the administration was caught between a rock and a hard place. But now that is over, you know, as we say here in North Carolina, okay, you got the horse out of the mud. Let's ride this bad boy, because you can't continue to treat athletics like an extracurricular activity. It is a business. Do those things necessary, because and the thing you got to remember, other than band members, what other quote unquote regular students are you going to see have people coming on campus to see on a regular basis? I'm sure, you know, I saw this thing online a few days ago, and I remember Pam has such a beautiful voice. She and one of my friends at AKA, and I remember when they were online, they had the most beautiful, in fact, their voices carried their line. And they had like a dozen girls that these two were the only ones who really sing. Okay, I went to see her, and I went to see them in a concert, with the annual concert with the choir. I went to see them when they were online. That's what, four times, five times in 4 years I saw them. I saw the football team five times during games at home. Not to mention what I, you know, we would go play, I came to the Pebble State game. I came to, you know, I saw Shaw play and a couple of others. I remember seeing Van Green play at Shaw. But, you know, let's not give the young people who are out there, you know, doing their blood, sweat, and tears thing, you don't have the Jake Luther mentality. You don't have and by the way, somebody mentioned his name earlier, it's Ralph Waldo Emerson Jones, who was the president at Grambling. You don't have Walter Davis, who was the president of the Tennessee State. And see, these are, you know, look at their results and then look what the mentality was that got those results. They understood the value of academics as well as athletics in the building of an institution. You go back and study Hampton, long before there was a Dr. Bill Harvey. Hampton was an athletically oriented school. Going back to Coach Williams and I forget the other gentleman's name off the top of my head, but they had people in place. Norfolk State was built around athletics because it was at the time a little sister to everybody in all the HBCUs in Virginia, but probably the St. Paul. But then, because you think about it, Norfolk only became a four-year school in 1953. Before that, they played schools that were 2 years and some four-year schools, because they played Virginia State every year.
Okay.
But they were only a two-year school.
All right, well, look, all that notwithstanding, though, I want to bring this back to where we started with this, because Coach Sanders has put in effect a lot of things that folks don't want to see or have manifest, and some of these people are his own people. They're HBCU people. They don't like his arrogant manner. They don't like the fact that he may be a type B person, a type A personality, and strut his stuff. But they have to respect the fact that he's caused more attention and positive input in their direction than they've been able to muster in all the times that some of these guys have been there. And if we're going to wipe the slate clean of a Coach Sanders, then the thing that you need to do is invest your energy in being the best rival to Jackson State that you can be, because that's what's going to create the box office, unless somebody else comes in with a mindset like Coach Sanders, who's willing to build the program and put his money where his mouth is. Coach Sanders has done that. Yes.
Mike, I think that's in place already. Between people, and I just use Cornell as an example. He has a demeanor that tend to rub people the wrong way sometimes, and I just leave it at that. The same as Deion Sanders can rub people the wrong way sometimes. My thing is simply this. He has to put up or shut up, and I have no problem with whichever one he does. Hopefully he puts up and don't have to shut up and bring everybody along with him. And I think he's trying
that's
to do that.
Yes,
exactly. I think he's already done that, Fred.
He did I. But then
Fred, he's done it already, Fred. Let's the bullshit. Yeah, he already has.
No, well, see, here's what I'm looking at. We don't judge any of these other coaches on what they did their first year, or their first 2 or 3 years. We look at what they where they have sustained over the years. We don't know Jake Gaither because he won the Orange Blossom the first two, three years. We know that he won. Actually, we know more about he lost than almost as many he played, but he played these kind of qualities, produced this kind of quality over the years. That's what I'm looking for. We had a gentleman at, I want to say at Howard, that used Howard as a springboard to go to some other school. And, you know, that if Deion ended up, even if he went to his alma mater, in 2 years, I would still say, no, he used Jackson State. If he stays and sustains this kind of quality, then I know he's serious. And see, that's the thing I had to tell this group of kids about 2 days ago. Winning games ain't nothing. What is your program? How's your program set up? How do you manifest your players at 4 years? Are they ready to graduate? Are your players
all right? Fred,
you know, and see, that's what we got to be looking for.
Let's use the standard that we use to determine whether or not a pro athlete makes it. Okay, we draft Fred Whitted for the first year. Fred's got to understand the playbook. All right, he may be sitting behind somebody. That's okay. Second year, Fred's got to understand the nuances of whatever goes on and adjustments he makes and all that stuff, and it's got to be second nature to him in addition to working with his teammates. The third year, Fred got it, and Fred can start for anybody. That's what we're talking about. So I think a three-year window is a fair amount of time to assess Coach Sanders' sincerity as well as his coaching acumen. Is that a fair amount of time for everybody on the thread?
Yeah, but I agree, but see, what I have a problem is people trying to call him a bust after spring ball.
That's my point.
That's my point. You know,
we had nobody at work.
I'm sorry?
I said, to me, it was neither here nor there with me because I don't think he had a body of work. He was so, you know, think about it. He was coming through a situation, well, correction. The coaches who coached in the spring, for the most part, were thrown under the bus in the beginning because, think about it, we still didn't know what the heck some of this stuff was. I mean, it was touch and go. And see, and it's so bad now that you think about it, the NFL, with all their money and mega medical systems, could not, you know, what they say today, like 19 guys were being reported as, you know, from the COVID protocol.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with him is he has to have a body of work. Until he gets a body of work, he's just another guy who's using this as a stepping stone.
See, you're already saying that he's going to use this as a stepping stone, and that's not proven.
No, no.
That hasn't been proven yet. You've already said that this is just a stepping stone. This is just a stepping stone. I mean, how can you? You say you want to give him time, but then you're already saying he's using it as a stepping stone. You can't have a full play.
No.
Deion Dunn, I give him all the credit in the world. He has raised the visual effect on the Black Football Network. And it needed to be done 30 years ago. But because you have presidents and ADs who did not want to do that, this is where we are today.
Well, see, Gary, this is where
This is where that
Earl Holmes factor comes into play. Now you've got a kid who's a local kid who wants to stay local, who wants to play for a Black school.
That's
that
right.
That's
right.
That pot may be stirred by Coach Davis, and it may be stirred by Coach Maynard for argument's sake, because he may not like Coach Sanders for the same reasons Coach Maynard doesn't like him. So now you've got the foundation for a healthy rivalry where these kids will be going up against each other, slapping hats on the field of battle, but they will be embraced by the whole HBCU atmosphere. They'll be nurtured. And because of NIL, they'll get compensated, which is something even more important to some degree. And we will see a game, say, between FAMU and Florida and Jackson State. Be serious box office, because now these motherfuckers want to come in with the TV cameras. So we know more money is being added to the mix. There can't be no.
Well, in all likelihood, you'll see that next year, because they won't be playing in the vet next year.
Right.
So if that's the case, in all likelihood, you will see a couple of limited. They didn't play in Bragg Stadium this year.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the turnout was for that, but I do know it was early in the season.
Mm. Yeah, they played it at the Dolphins place, and I believe they got 67,000. I believe they got 67,000.
You don't think that the Miami Dolphins aren't paying attention to this? You don't think that any of the Florida schools won't be looking to expand their venue if somehow they match up Jackson State? They know they can count. And if he's putting Heinies in the seats on top of it, you know, that's a good thing. They get bigger.
He put more Heinies than what the Washington football team is. The Washington football team couldn't even break.
Well, that's the thing that I think that that's the thing that I'm holding. I mean, like, the fact that he's had that the financial impact and the asses in the seats, that's huge. Not yet. Does he need to do it again for some folks? Yeah, I get it. But
yeah.
All I'm saying is don't piss on what he has. That's the thing that bothers me.
Exactly. And I know he's rubbing people the wrong way simply because of who he is. You know,
Mike, to be fair, look, Maynard is the only one that really sort of took whatever. But see, it's not up in his face because he wound up getting an ass open at his own place. Because to be quite honest, Deion was actually, if you look at that week leading up to the game, Deion himself was actually, I'm not saying he was Marcel, but given his bomb bash, he was actually fired. Maynard did more of a disservice to his own players than he did, and again, it came back to haunt him because they made sure they put a half a hundred on him.
But yes, we are. Anytime you're in leadership and you come in with a different approach, it's gonna rock the boat. And a lot of people in the HU
it's how you react to it. Because see, again, I know I sound like a dead horse, but I go back to the CIAA because all those coaches bitching and moaning about Winston having a Division I team. The commission wasn't there to just say, oh, poor baby. I'm hoping the good way. If nothing else, I would hope that maybe next year Alcorn gets the number one guy, or FAMU gets the number one guy.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I want to see
anybody.
Yeah. I mean, anybody. I'm buzzing anybody. This is all, my thing is it's all inclusive. Now, you're gonna have folks that are never gonna get it, and whatever.
Do you think North Carolina A&T will play Jackson State
considering that they can't play in the Celebration Bowl, you think they're going to try to maybe get a game with them there?
Well, look, see, here's the thing. The HBCUs, you know, since these white schools are so afraid to play, well, not because they don't want to, they should be playing. My thing is, they should play amongst themselves because they can generate that kind of money.
Yeah,
that's been
money.
My, that's been my whole thing.
Yeah,
oh, that's been my whole thing. They don't have to. The thing that's been so bothersome is that. The thing that's been so bothersome is that they is that all of these other HBCUs don't recognize their worth. And now they don't recognize their worth. And this is all the more reason why you need, you know, your product can stand with anybody. You got the history, you got the history behind you, and you've got the current, you got the past history behind you, and you got the current history behind you.
Counselor, if it please the court, I make the argument of what you just stated, because this is history repeating itself. We know back in the day there were black schools that white schools wanted no part of, and it had nothing to do with the color of the players in the uniforms. It was the fear of a black ass whooping. That's what we're talking about.
Michael, I'm going to give you a clear example of this.
Go ahead.
1948, 49, Fuck Guy, Anthony Yankees,
Yeah.
The score was 44-10.
That's right.
Aggies.
I'm not going to put an ass whooping on somebody.
Yeah. Their boys to death. And everything. And God, I've not played since 1948.
I feel you, Gary.
To me, all these people, you know, all these quote unquote white schools that are bitching about, you know, the guys with the NIL, it's the equivalent of Jimmy DeCree basically saying, well, if the black guys get all the jobs, there won't be nothing left for white people. You already got them. You already got them some schools.
Yeah.
But you don't worry about them other. You don't worry about them 40? Again, it's that whole thing. You got a whole row, and you worried about my one piece.
That's right. You remember this. With all these Power 5 schools that are doing what they're doing right now, the last thing they want is to see HBCU have successful consecutive recruiting classes. Now, you know, when they made all the fuss about Darren McNair, they were focusing on one guy, and they really weren't focusing on the fact that he was helping their team win games. But what they want, what they don't want, rather, is a team, a school with several athletes who could be drafted and playing on Sunday who happen to be from a black pedigree, ready to whoop that ass because it changes everything. Now, you might get to pay an Appalachian State one time a little bit of money and get your ass whipped, but you know the one thing they don't want is a traditional school, a traditional HBCU, to get that ass whipping in. Remember how Howard cashed in that bet.
Not too long ago, and they lost their mind when Texas Southern went down there and kicked that
This is the kind of spirit Paul Feinbaum would kick out in a heartbeat, that a black school would come in there and whip a top 10 white school. You know, Paul Bear Bryant, he ain't turning over in his grave. He's just sitting there waiting to see when it's going to happen. This is what Deion Sanders, Coach Sanders, I'll give him his props. This is what Coach Sanders represents. He has put himself on the precipice of maybe lighting the fuse, if not for him, another coach who can do just what we're talking about now. We know there were several times black schools were passed up because they didn't want that ass whooping. And that's exactly what's going on now.
Yeah. The only reason why they're willing to pay them now is because they know that they quote unquote hold the hammer. But if the fields are equal, they want no part of it. And that scares them because if Jackson State is able to do this on this level and all the other schools catch up, it's going to be hell to pay. That's more than anything else.
What Fred like to say, you know, there was one Jackson State class that put three guys in the Hall of Fame. Walter Payton, the defensive
Robert
back.
Robert Brazil, and Jackie Slater.
And Jackie Slater. You know, that was one team. We already know that's possible. We know that that can happen again. We know they don't want it to happen again, but that's what's going on here. And that's why they've taken such a sharp angle with this from the revenue stream standpoint. You better believe compliance officers at HBCUs had better be cleaner than clean as they do what they do to them, because they will damage these kids in ways that they're not even thinking about. And believe me, in a business like this, where so much money is changing hands, they don't care who gets hit with the money, and they don't care who gets penalized by the money. I mean, listen, SMU showed us that big time. They didn't violate any rules. They just recruited better than Texas and Texas A&M, and they got punished for it. This is what must be avoided if a Jackson State or Alcorn State or any other state is going to flourish. They got to do exactly what Coach Dion is doing. Get out there and outdraft people. And, yeah, okay, you want to play Ali and you want to whip my ass? Come on. And their players have to back him up and whoop their ass.
And Mike, it's more likely to happen in the SWAC because of the bold move that they made bringing in the Florida schools. Because let's face it, the pedigree is already there. All this basically done has a few more folks and what have you. It's sort of like a woman who's already beautiful trying to have like a breast job or get a butt figure or whatever. This will be the easy for it. But if you're gonna do it right.
You don't think that the Orange Bowl where the Dolphins play ain't thinking about the possibility of FAMU and Jackson State in their house?
They don't even have to go that far, Mike. The Florida Classic. That's still going to remember. That's even more enhanced now because of this one. It was always enhanced, but now even more so.
Let me tell you guys another thing. On the West Coast, we rarely get HBCU games at all. I've been here 40 years.
Yep.
Well, guess what? This year I see more HBCU games than I ever seen in California.
Yeah. And see, that's the other thing too, because we always talk about the Notre Dame Subway alumni and all the other stuff. But are you really trying to tell me that there aren't any A&T fans in the LA or any Hampton fans in Memphis or so on, or even just teams will see them on TV and be like,
they were there. I can tell you for a fact they were there at that Portland State game I attended, and they weren't all Grambling fans either. They were from all various HBCUs, and I can tell you there was probably 7,000 to 8,000 of those guys in a downtown stadium. They filled it up 35,000 plus, and everybody was enjoying the fuck out the game.
Michael, in 2007.
The whole time they were there. But my point is this: there was a picture on Facebook, and I think the captain said, we went to a ball game and an HBCU reunion broke out. And there were like 25, 30 people that were there.
That's
at
right.
the game.
That's right.
Winston, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, and see, from a marketing position, they, you know, whoever's marketing have to look at it from, okay, we're bringing HBCU basketball or football west of the Mississippi River. Okay, remember, HBCU breaks down after Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. Can you imagine Oklahoma having a game at Tulsa Stadium with the Gap Band performing before everybody, doing early in the morning, as Arkansas, Pine Bluff, or any other HBCU school comes in there and graces with sparkling plays? We got Patrick Farrar to mix as well. This is what they got to start thinking in terms of now. You know, this is not a victim du jour game where we're going to give you $500 and you got to change your schedule like Delaware State had to. No. No, you're the hot ticket now. You're Earth, Wind, and Fire on the road. They're coming to see you. This is what Coach Dion has turned this into. You want to see Cool in the Gang? Boom, here we go. Here's Coach Dion in the gang, ready to rumble. That's what we want to see. That's what the nerds have to start thinking about. They have to swallow their fucking pride and stick their slide rules back the fuck up their ass so that they can understand that if we're going to market this thing, let's market it for the best reasons possible. The kids win, the schools win, the graduates win. I mean, how can you miss? Patrick, are you there?
Live and living color. What's up, fellas?
Yes, sir.
What up?
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Why am I sending this message up again? Hello.
Can you hear me?
Well, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
No, we hear you.
Can you
hear me? Can you hear us?
I hear that snap, crackle, pop going on and whatnot. Patrick, is he can hear us.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we hear you.
Yeah. Okay, live and living color.
Yes, sir. We're talking about Coach Sanders and the effect he has had. The Celebration Bowl is officially sold out. We've got him grabbing one of the top draft picks in the country for his school.
Yep.
And now,
yep.
if he gets three or four more of them, he's got a recruiting class. Something that an HBCU
yep.
hasn't had in a long time, in large part because they never had to ask. Now, Fred always comes in here talking about Coach Gaines, and I speak of that with respect, and the fact
mm-hmm.
that people went to school with him on say-so because they knew.
Mm-hmm.
That same kind of mindset needs to be applied to the HBCUs. You know,
mm-hmm.
you go in here because so-and-so says so. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think there are that many so-and-so said so's available, Fred. I mean, am I wrong here?
Well, I tell you what. Rob, this morning I found out Jack State picked up a highly touted recruit.
Yes.
Cornerback, what helps out? Well, I think it will trickle down to some other guys who are going to seriously now to consider make that move to HBCU schools. Look,
exactly.
It's not going to be overnight, but the fact that it's more than a consideration, it's now an option, there's a big difference. And look out for the transfer portal as the season ends, as people
yeah.
you know decide where they want to go next year. And I'm quite sure they're gonna pick up some players. So my point is take advantage of every marketing position that you have, and deal with it, and see what you come out with. Don't be afraid of it, man.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's a key. Because one of the things that a lot of coaches have heard over years, well, you know, my resources are limited, so why waste my time? Well,
uh-huh.
you talk to a lot of kids, what do they say? Well, nobody asked me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Long talk, so.
Yep.
Hey, Patrick,
yeah.
how significant was the Army-Navy game? We had two brothers quarterbacking at that game.
Well,
they did it
before.
I stand corrected then. Okay.
Oh, yeah, because there's a quarterback on Navy's team that's from Jersey City that played here locally about 2 years ago. He's a backup quarterback.
Cool.
Oh, they'll play. You know, I mean, the game was a complete sellout and extraordinarily popular. And I mean, the Army Navy game was something like that. I watched it when I was a kid. And I have a lot of respect for the game because they keep it like it is. They ain't trying to do nothing else but do what they have. And they play tackle-to-tackle football. You know, they ain't trying to spread it. They trying to knock each other's block off.
Yeah, really. Hey, just to follow up, if I can, Patrick. Okay, the significance right now of the eyeballs being on the Celebration Bowl being the first bowl game. Now, you got 70-something thousand black folks in that stand. The visual alone, how much pre-advertising are they making off of that and off of the culture of the game?
Well, you know, that's just to be seen in terms of how it's going to come out. But I will say this. If you have those kind of eyeballs, let's take advantage of the best way they can. Hopefully, they keep the educators out the way and let the marketing people and the players play the game for the best visuals that they can get out of it. And after that, let's take a look back and assess what you have and go to the next step. Because obviously, if this can happen, more can happen as time goes on. And I think also, let's take advantage of the basketball aspect of it where they can too. The fact that a couple of schools knocked off some Division I schools, hey, that's good. I mean, it don't happen often, but take advantage of it. I mean, marketing people need to be lining up like folks line up for government cheese to get an opportunity to black marketing companies need to. That's what pisses me off. These black market companies need to approach these schools. Look at y'all. This is we know the product. We don't have to sell the product. We know the product. Many of them have HBCU folks working and graduates in their companies. Work
Thank
with
you.
That and see what you can come out of it.
And
you know something? One thing, if people don't like it, you know, I don't care, no way. Look what Roland Martin's doing to promote anything in terms of good news about HBCU. As a matter of fact, he's the only guy I've seen every week
he
got something on the HBCU.
Take
advantage of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's his own company making money. His own money coming in to him.
The first thing we should do is bring back the Whitney Young Memorial Classic. Can you imagine?
It's coming back next year. Let's come back next year.
Come on. That's right.
Let's come back next year. Yes.
Bring
Texas
State to the
Meadowlands.
How many black folks
show up?
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, have they decided what schools are playing, Patrick?
I have not heard. But
I'm sure Jackson
year.
State might be there.
No, well, they could be. They're going to leave Jackson State. They could take Howard and Morgan and come up
yeah,
and
two local
and have
that's
other
right.
Game.
That's right.
Folks,
or Hampton.
I can attest, folks in this area are dying for an HBCU big game to come back to Maryland.
Don't you?
Believe me, they are. You can put 40,000
in Morgan State under any circumstances will fill that house.
Oh, please. It won't fill it, but it'll put 45,000 out there.
That's right. I've never seen a Whitney Young Classic with less than 35,000 people in the stands, and I've been to just about all of them.
Yeah. That can happen, man. Make it happen. I mean, folks in this area are just dying to see that. Because they want the event to come back. And the event to come back gets interest. And now for the last 4 or 5 years, no, last 3 or 4 years, the tour from the HBCU schools that was established for many years has toned down some. Well, let's bring it back when we start doing this. Because I encourage kids, hey, consider HBCU school. I told a young man 6 months ago, he got a letter from North Carolina Central. His boss wants to go to University of Maryland. Well, if they don't want you, consider that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
interesting layout of potential futures for people. And it's also,
personally, I go to home, I go to North Carolina Citizens in the back. It's 10-1 women. Boy, what you want?
But see, they're not thinking. I know they don't see the big picture.
Please,
you see the big picture with the HBCU. You gotta look at everything. Yeah, and you know sometimes young folks are short sighted in that regard. But having said that, you know we're looking at a whole new awakening of the possibilities of HBCUs finally getting their due. Now you see a path to success, and that was generated by Coach Sanders. And not that I'm putting him on a pedestal or anything like that, but he did the work and he should get the credit. And I want to see that.
No problem.
Other coaches. Yeah, no problem.
No
with
problem.
That whatsoever.
With.
Yeah.
I don't think it's players and the coaches. I think we all know what the situation is. That the administrators, you know, who back in the 1940s, well, this is about education. No, it ain't.
That was most likely.
That was what we were saying earlier. These educators got to learn. Nobody comes to see your A student diagram sentences.
I've been there for 100 years. I've been there for 100 years. And I'll say it again. If you got an HBCU school and they're marketing, what company patronizes HBCU schools more than anybody else? You better talk to Pepsi. Somebody better talk to McDonald's. Somebody
Pepsi,
better talk to Heinz Ketchup.
Pepsi, State Farm, of Southwest Airlines.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please. And they're going to do it. They better do it within the next 2 weeks. I'm telling you, because marketing people are on the fan for September within the next 2 weeks.
Exactly. And the great thing about what could happen Saturday is when the season opens, and you will see not a half-filled dome, you're going to see a full house. Or close to full house, because you know there'll be some of those folks that try to come passionately, of course, male and female. But
that's what I can't understand it.
Well, see. Put it this way: that could be the best recruiting tool for folks. We're talking about the SWAC a lot here, but this is just as important for the MEAC because South Carolina comes in and beats them. South Carolina State comes in there and beats them. There's something somebody will be like, I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, please.
It's twofold. That's the good thing about what Saturday is. What Saturday and beyond to me.
I don't understand it. Don't they teach business and marketing in schools? Come on.
One would think so, but Patrick, you know, if you can't lead a horse to water,
give him some Kool-Aid,
Really.
Patrick.
You know what? It's, a lot of minds are going to change. When they see 70,000 people in the stands and they hear the bands in the background, don't, and then the majorette comes out there or the major comes
Lord
out
have
there,
mercy.
Struts across the field, and them big legs and those delicious asses get going, Lord have mercy. You know they ain't gonna be right.
Wait, Mike, what you got to worry about is the old men looking for the kids.
Mike, we definitely need to see the divorce rate after Monday.
You want to see how many old girls out there got bandages on the back of their ears? You can hear it in pocketbooks.
That's right.
You only have black women do this. They carry the purse, but that was just every. But Patrick, years ago, I was attending a meeting with some HBCU people, primarily people from the CIAA but I've had the same, been in the same kind of meeting with the MEAC. And one of the questions that was posed in part by me, in part by others, was this. You have a sports marketing curriculum.
Uh-oh.
At your school.
There you go again, professional, hitting them with hard questions.
And my question is, you have broadcast, you have communication at your school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I don't know who of you all, I've known Stan Luter for probably about 30 years. I love Stan, but for the life of me, I can't see why you got Stan, who has worked at HBCU but never went to one, and he does a good job of preparation. But then you have this other guy doing play-by-play who's white, who sometimes during the game has been reminded, who's on the field, what channel are we in.
I'm laughing because that's a true statement. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, I got involved in this back in the mid-80s directly because I was at the time I was a clock operator at Fayetteville State. Well, we went to a road game and we were in the hotel and they're on TV. And these guys, and I want to say it was Texas Southern and Alcorn or somebody like that. Now, a bang-up game. But the talking heads are talking about all these other schools and ain't none of them black.
Mm-hmm.
And I posed the question to Eric because he wasn't there with me at the time. I think in a conversation the following week I said, how come these people are talking about black schools? But his answer was, you can't talk about what you don't know.
When the production staff is put together, you line up who you want to be the announcers, okay? All right? At that point, if the production staff hasn't pinpointed who they want to announce the game, you got problems. That should be done almost immediately, who they want. Now, of course, here's the other part of it. This is real. There are white guys who are in broadcast who will broadcast anything because their agent and their people will find it and they'll get those opportunities. Our focus is on running demand that we get it. There's a difference.
Patrick Ross got to pay the cost to be the boss, though, because there was a time there was somebody considering hiring Tony, myself, and another gentleman in L.A. to do broadcast the game. Now I can do play by play. I've done it. And I did it in Germany. They didn't want to pay. It's like you can't
die,
motherfuckers. You can't die, motherfuckers.
You can't do that.
No, you have to. You can't do nothing half-assed.
But you know
what? You got to be
Mike, the flip side of that, Mike, there's some white people to do with just pulling the resume.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. And I know a couple.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, not to change the subject, but this COVID-19 and NFL, what the hell is going on, man? These guys had enough numbers when no fans and no vaccines. Now we got a vaccine, and now all of a sudden nobody wants to take it. And we got high numbers, nothing less.
Look at Rich. Yesterday, past 800,000 people died from COVID. You hear me?
Thank
yesterday,
in the state, 800,000
people died of COVID.
But it's not real.
That's right.
that's what your Republican Party said, Professor.
No.
That's a hoax.
I'm sorry, I had to take that shot.
Let me
just, it's a thing of their imagination.
Saturday, the Browns played Oakland Raiders. We got nine guys, including Baker Mayfield, and the coach not being able to play. What in the world?
Exactly.
What is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with y'all?
Well, Baker can do another commercial. That'll help. Them do another commercial.
By the way, Patrick, my phone is on speed dial if you need me on that. Okay.
That's right.
Please.
For real. Baker's going batshit. They don't know what to do as far as setting the logarithms in terms of odds now. You know, they never had to deal with this before.
Yeah, I was confused.
No, they never had to deal with the possibility that.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
I mean,
not at all.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Hey, Patrick, tell the guys the next time they're playing with the Knicks, can somebody wear a fucking mask on, man, rather than kissing the other or with the child? It's a nice somebody had a mask on, especially in the state of New York.
And Rich, look here. No, the mask, get the shot. That's why I have no sympathy, not a ounce of sympathy for that knucklehead Antonio Brown. I mean, he's a personification of stupid. He's going to get a face card.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Well, he has rhymes.
He's coming back. Here comes Javier with the net. He's coming back.
He wasn't the only one who got a fake card, though. Evander King of the San Jose Sharks got a fake card, too.
Yes.
And that dumb fuck that suspended for 21 games for being ignorant, and he lost goo gobs of money. The guy's getting
But don't forget, Mike, that's a felony.
Mike, personally, before he comes back, James Harden and his beard must take a COVID shot before he comes back.
Oh, hell yeah.
And his beard must take a COVID shot.
Oh, the beard. I almost rather see the beard get it than him. Because you don't know what's going on in that room. There's all sorts of nasty things going on in there.
I'm doing some glitter from the strippers that he's been paying.
I must make a point again about this because the gambling factor has long superseded anything the NFL is going to do this season. This supposedly the greatest season ever. Jabari Greer, who used to be a defender for the New Orleans Saints, his cornerback, is now one of their on-air performers. And he makes assessments of games coming into the NFL. Now, that's no big deal because everybody does. But what he did do that nobody else had done out loud is he made a bet, a prop bet. He said Tom Brady averages 306 yards a game, and that he bet $100 that he would surpass that. Now, he bet $100 to win 3.5 on the odds. The last pass Brady threw helped him make it because it was a 56-something-yard pass to Perriman, and it blew him up and it gave him 361-something yards. He was just a little bit under prior to that. So even if just 1,000 people in Toronto heard this brother speak on this, $350,000 left the conference. But you
come on, Michael, this is the thing that bothers me about all this stuff. You have announcers on National Network saying, I need three points.
What is Joe Buck ask Peyton Manning? You got money in this game, man? What's going on, Peyton? You got money in this game?
Guys, I have to tell you, that's why I love history. I have to tell you, that's how NFL football started. On gambling.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the Mara family. They won the Giants on a $600.
Come on.
It's just going back to school.
Yep, and let's not forget, if you look at football was started at the Ivy League school where they got together on the intelligence to make up the game. But they think everybody is man to talk when it comes to football. You get history of football.
Let me just throw this into the pot, gentlemen. Now, you all know I am not one to instigate.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, not you.
You and Lionel, when y'all say that, no.
If Yale University, now I'm talking to Ivy League school.
LeBron James, a line one for you, Mike.
If Yale University, Tony School, used their endowment
use their endowment to finance betting on football games. Do you realize
no.
they could buy a small Latin American country and
no.
as fast as you can say Tom Brady?
Mike, let me give reality. Mike, Are you ready, Mike?
Uh-oh.
Yale's endowment can buy that right now.
I know.
and still have money to go to McDonald's afterwards.
Thank you.
They can buy a small army and take over a country if they wanted to.
In horse racing, when somebody wants to hit the pick six when there's 500,000 in the kitty, they put together and they know they can hit it. That's what's going to happen here in pro football.
Well, we know a certain owner of a horse down in California needs that many times.
I'm telling you, that's right. Listen,
they've been real quiet about this story, haven't they? They've been real quiet about
it. I don't have to say anything conspiracy at all. You tell me how much action a Super Bowl between the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will bring.
Mike, it's COVID-19. And how is COVID-19 going to affect the Super Bowl? That's the question.
Yeah.
They know what's going on because the 2024 Super Bowl has just been announced.
That's right. And
Las yeah.
Vegas.
Yep. In the land of sin. L.A., in the land of sin, Gary.
Gary,
going to the game, Gary.
Yep. Mike, what took them so long?
They
had to go through the COVID, the red tape. Come on, now. You know, the prosecutor had to get that cut.
No BS now. 2024, the Super Bowl is in Vegas. And, of course, no one's going to bet on it.
Oh, God. The National Guard going to have to check all them better. Jesus Christ. COVID-19 again, Patrick. All them people flying in from overseas in Vegas. Oh, my God.
Mike, let me help y'all something. In the Big Ten, the Rutgers endowment is close to about $780 million, close to billion. Princeton's endowment is about $15 billion, so that should take it.
I told you they're behind. They're way behind. And they ain't got a decent sports program, but look at that.
Thank you, because they don't need it.
hey, Patrick, they tied Oxford University over in Mary Old, England with their endowment, with the blood diamond.
Oh, please.
Cecil Rhodes.
The queen are getting 10 bands just to make sure that they're doing okay. Please, man, come on. That's a whole different world of finances. They're printing their own money.
They should get money for slavery back in the day.
That's why they got rich. But let's not go there because you know I can give a lesson on that.
Yeah. they don't want to talk about that free labor for 100 years.
Oh, please. Tom Cotton.
Unreal.
Senator Tom Cotton. That's what I call him.
Oh, God. That's
gentlemen, I want to get into a session of the Field Generals before we finish up here. Because now we're in the home stretch, week 15. Now most of the games are going to be division games,
and it's
going to be knockout. And Tony, Pete Rozelle is not only having a hard-on, he's involved in threesome.
At his age, damn, I'd like to get what he's getting. Tell him to call me up. Run me up.
Well, Reg, he is in the afterlife, you know.
Like I said, call me up. I like to see what he's getting. Help the brother out. My 64-year-old girlfriend, Alyla. I'm trying to keep up. Shit.
And Mike, I must do my weekly announcement to remind Reggie that stalking is still illegal in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's a public service announcement.
Yes, indeed.
I need to be slapped around a little bit.
let me tell you something. Last week, the game between the Rams last week on Sunday Night Football.
And the Cardinals?
There was a stunning statistical on that, speaking of quarterbacks. And the statistic was Chase Daniels has been in the league for 13 years with 8 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. You talk about welfare money. You talk about stealing from the government. You talk about stealing from the people. How is this clown in play? 13 years, 8 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, and they won't let Colin sniff in the league.
Patrick, even Bobby Bonilla's saying, even Bobby Bonilla's saying that guy's over.
Trying to give him a ski mask and a gun because he's robbing people.
Gentlemen, after hearing the information presented, we now pass sentence.
Oh, no. As Steve Mac say, a man with a computer is a dangerous individual.
If it please the fucking court, I hereby charge
you. Can't wait for the English pronunciation this time.
Chase Daniel, Chuck Long, and every dead fucking quarterback that had the nerve to hold a clipboard.
He hear you.
Stealing from everybody to get paid. I charge them with first-degree larceny, first-degree and felony scumbaggery in the third degree.
I have the meaning of that word for 100 things? Can I have the meaning of the word?
Reggie, can I have the
meaning of that word, please?
No, it's for this way. It's not very, to quote Bill Russell, it's not very good. He's not very good.
Tony, guess who the Giants are going to play against this week quarterback? Mike Glennon again.
Oh,
another one who got coming for the next 15, 20 years.
Are you
Mike Glennon. My goodness.
Come on, Patrick. What's the word with the Giants? Who will get fired? The general manager or the owner?
FBI on line 2.
Well, we know Mr. Riddick won't get a job at general manager.
I would think Joe Bizarczyk is in some bar in Jersey. Could probably be a better quarterback right now.
You better believe anybody who's out of it. But this is the kicker. There are like 25 teams that still have a shot. This is what people was talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
entering this week, 26 of the 32 teams are within a game of the final of the final playoff spot.
Yep.
Well, they got their wins. Excitement coming down the stretch. They got their wins.
In terms of wins and losses, it's going to be the figures. If you lose 8 games, you're out. So everybody's on the precipice being 7-7, 6-7, 6 or whatever. If you lose that 8th game, you can chuck it up. Because they won't let it go that far.
Hey, Patrick, how embarrassing is that the Washington football team had damn near over 50% of the fans filled with Cowboys fans, and the camera was going back and forth, and Daniel Snyder can't even get the name of the team. He's going to get a new stadium. Now they can't hold it where they're at.
You're making a great point. It's kind of like the years I was with the Nets when we got real bad. The first year I was in the front office, they won 17 games. And every time Knicks came to our stadium, it's always their home game. Because folks would sell the tickets to make some money, on the tickets, because they couldn't get in the garden. The situation there is, I tell you, they're cleaning house. I do know that. The young brother, that's the president, is really trying to clean out Now, the bad part about it, their investigations that's going on, and they have one now today that the owner was still trying to mess with it. Now Congress is going to get involved because he lied. Somebody lied to Congress, so they pissed off.
Oh no! Hey, but here's my question, Patrick. If Danny Snyder was out of sex scandal and Gruden is trying to sue him, who in the ham sandwich is getting paid? Guys, this is getting crazy now between Gruden suing Snyder.
I'm going to tell you right now. I freed a couple of weeks ago, and now it's going to happen more than ever. Gruden people say, I ain't the one going down.
He's gonna try to pull a Nino Brown and get everybody down.
How you gonna do it, T? Everybody going down. Which basically, Mike,
you know what that means? Kareem Akbar will be the head coach of the Oakland Raiders next year.
Hey, Patrick, is he going to do the number one thing to watch on training day?
I'm putting Cam on all you guys.
I'm telling you, when Gruden was that student, and I talked to my boy who was an law professor and judge, he said, Patrick, he said that might put the grease in the pot to cook the chicken, man.
Hey, real quick, Patrick, the big money, the games we play between Alabama and Cincinnati. Now, Alabama already knows how to sit back for a month and gear up. How much does Cincinnati have pressing them to try to match it? Because I don't see these guys being uncharted water right now.
Betting wise, it's going crazy. I mean, betting's going crazy. They're in happy land because they're betting on the upset. But I will tell you this: don't sell Cincinnati short. Don't sleep on Cincinnati. I mean, don't sleep on them.
Take the points in Cincinnati. Is that what you're saying, bro? Take the same thing.
Hey. They got three first round games.
Cincinnati has a chance to make $40 million, and they haven't even walked on the cup yet.
Is that the school?
That's for the game. $40 million. The $17 million, the straight up fee. And as far as video broadcast and everything else that goes with that shit, we're talking $40 million before they even kick the ball.
Let me tell you something.
Okay, the conference, man. What's the school getting?
$40 million.
The school. Well, here's the problem. Here's the thing with the school. Now, I will say this. I know how the money used to be split, but because this is a different game, I don't know exactly how much they're going to get. Because I know
Conference USA ain't going to get so much money. They're not going
to
get as much money.
Conference USA. Some have to go to conference USA, but I don't know how much it was.
Yeah, like I said, the conference will get their cut first, and then the other schools will get a shot.
That cut
Cincinnati ain't getting all that.
That cut will be more than 10%. Because you got to make them pay. We're talking about.
But the greatest advantage is, like I tell folks, and we all discussed it, and Fred talked about it. If you got your school being mentioned every day from now to the end of the month, you can't buy that kind of advertisement.
Yeah, that's free advertising.
Think about the next non-HBCU team that books Jackson State for a game. You don't think they're going to be booking in terms of we're going to make money off their black asses? You better believe it.
Oh, they're doing that already. Shit.
I'm quite sure as the sun is shining, water's wet. Dion's going to try to get Jackson State in the game next fall against the Power 5 team.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
That could be a good thing in a bad thing.
He don't care if we want to lose.
That's right. That exposure is a monster. And I don't
blame him. He better hope he got enough people on that bench to go through the year. Get a couple of injuries at some key position. He might go 0-7. I know it's a game, but you know, you gotta think about that.
I'm gonna play Mississippi State. I'm gonna play somebody down south, or school like Syracuse. Somebody's gonna play.
Yeah.
Just to put the name out.
Yeah.
Because forget the wins and losses, guys. They want
That's right.
their name out there. That's what they
Can
want.
Can you imagine Jackson State beating an SEC team, even if it's one of the four sisters?
Yeah,
that
they can beat Vanderbilt. That's how it means. Play Vanderbilt.
Exactly.
They got a challenge.
Yeah.
In.
Yep.
But that would be repercussions.
Yep. Vanderbilt had a winning season in about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Something
and I've been saying for years, it's easier to do it in basketball than football. Some black dude is gonna go get smart and get three players that's gonna be the base of that team and take out a couple of 5-5 schools. It can happen. If Hampton can win one, it can happen again.
Yep.
Well, Hampton and then the Big South and also A&T, so that should be right there. Hampton and Howard. I mean Hampton and A&T.
Tennessee State. And quite frankly, my man, Reggie Fleas from Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
He had them guys playing well. He had them play. I saw him play two games this year. yeah, that team playing well. By the way, I mentioned some Mackey today. Reg, I'm trying to get to the class, HBCU double hit on Saturday. You know
oh,
something?
Cool.
Guess what? Can't get a credentials.
Are you kidding me?
The game is being played at Prudential Center, right?
Yeah.
I went there as a matter of fact Monday. I said, let me see. Let me get to my credential because you said, I'll call up and get one. I called at Prudential Center. They sent me, the guy sent me down to guess where? To the Philadelphia 76ers because the Devils and the Sixers have shared some ownership. What's happening now, if you need conditions for basketball, you go through Prudential Center to the Sixers. I called the Sixers,
right.
And know what they did? They sent me a number back to the Devils. It's been going back and forth for 2 days now. If I don't get a conditions by tomorrow, they ain't seeing me.
What kind of bullshit is that? See, that's what pissed me off.
Listen, you got to remember, the teams don't want bad publicity, but more importantly, they don't want independent voices saying what's going on with their teams. So if you're going to be there, you're going to be there to that team to speak their 5 times. That's been going on in the NFL for years, and that's exactly why I quit the Pro Football Writers of America. That's not pro football writing. It's pro propaganda. I didn't doubt that bullshit. I haven't said that. Let us get the final thoughts. We've had some good discourse here. Patrick, come on in and throw something else in the pot, please.
Now, you know I don't swim. One for me is washing and eating. That's it. But there's a sister named Kareem Henderson. She became the first sister that won the national contest of swimming with synchronized swimming this week. That's fabulous. And she did it as a former team member of the University of Indiana. Now, all the years I was in school at State, Indiana, they had fishes against human beings I've been around college swimmers. My mind was opened up exponentially to see how these girls train for swimming. These white girls and they're lifting and at that time they had the Nautilus machine. They were using those Nautilus machines like a dog biting a bone. And University of Indiana kept championships. And these girls, that's why I tell young kids so much, you know, they want to be college athletes. I said, you know how they train? ring is what mentioned to them. I mean, and I still remember personally in how they dream. I got big respect for them. But the sister got a national synchronized award in swimming. That's for me. Fabulous.
God bless. God bless.
Gotta love that. Reggie, please come on sir. And show something.
Well, we know the discussion. Doctor, back in the day when it came to gymnastics, where the ladies now getting compensated for it. It came out quietly this past week. But the real story is the University of Virginia hired the second black head coach in football. We know football is the face of the school. And they go to Clemson, the offensive coordinator, which Patrick, I think it's kind of interesting. They go to Dabo Swinney, old cracker himself, that is so upset because these boys are getting a lot of money. And how bad you go away like money because we know you're getting a free education. You're getting a free education, son. Don't you forget getting a free education, boy. Yeah, it's just the money coming in from the TV and everything else. But the sad part about it, before the brother could take the job, he had to get certain, should we say, requirements when it came to recruiting certain athletes. I don't know why you didn't seem to think that they're the Harvard and the Ivy League of the ACC when it comes to admission. If you look at the way the players have to come in, it's crazy. That's why the dog might not be enough. So for all you Richmond and also Spiders and all the UVA people out there, when you can't get the recruit that Virginia Tech's getting and getting your ass beat, just check the hell up and stick to water polo or wherever the hell you plan to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like that a lot. And now we come to the point where we offer up holiday fair. Because if you want some good shit to stick under the Christmas tree, if you want something to put there on the coffee table while you're sipping your Henny, or listening to Clarence Carter singing Backdoor Santa, I can highly recommend the Black College Sports Encyclopedia, published by our good friend, Professor Ted Whitty. Professor, if you would. Professor, are you there?
I'm studying.
I see. All right. Well, while you're studying, Gary, come on in and lend some balance to the situation.
Well, the NFL had to deal with this COVID-19.
Correct.
Like I said, a year or 2 years ago, somebody's going to die by this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And the question becomes, is it worth it? Now, as we come down to the last 4 weeks of the season, both of our teams, the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, and everyone, and the coaching staff, and the New York Football Giants, got 8 games. All I'm asking is these 2 teams, give me four wins, and I'll be happy.
Right. Okay.
There we go. 1 o'clock Saturday, and there will be a Christmas.
Oh.
Marathon. On Monday, the 20th of December.
There you go.
Because the 19th is my birthday. I was taking the day off.
Oh, we knew that. Happy birthday, Jeeve. Come. And we know happy Christmas to come with the Christmas Marathon, Great Epic Code, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, this Saturday after the stir fry. Professor, are you there? Okay. Since he seems to be indisposed, T-Mac, please. Throw something in the
pot. We lose D-Mac too?
Tony, we lost you too?
Yeah. We are you doing, Michael? What are you doing?
I'm telling you. All right, well, look, if it's going to be like that, then we're going to make like a banana and split. Courtesy of the song Barry White wrote this when he was 12 years old. So if it's good enough for Barry, it's good enough for us. We'll see you Saturday.